RFM, part of the IOM Radio Network.
IPMNation.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome. Matt Connerton Unleashed. We're live. It is Tuesday, April 26, 2016, a little after 11 p.m. in the Eastern Time Zone. Of course, you can hear us five nights a week on IPM Nation 2 at 11 p.m. Eastern. And, of course, Tuesdays and Thursday nights, we are also carried on OTR FM, the premium channel on the OM Times Radio Network. Of course, the IPM Nation live station is we broadcast from the Uptown Auto Repair Studio in Manchester, New Hampshire. We are powered by Ambit Energy. You can learn how to save on your energy bills. Go to ipmnation.ambitrabbit.com. You'll be glad that you did. And, of course, we are sponsored by the, getting a little tongue-tied, the mortgage specialists. So, like I always say, buying a home is probably the biggest purchase you'll ever make. So, you don't have to go it alone. Check out themortgagespecialists.com. And, let's see. We do have a phone line open for you if you'd like to communicate with me and our listeners during the show tonight, 617-917-4IPM. That's 617-917-4476, if you prefer. You can call or text us at that number. Let's see. We also have the chat room, of course, at ipmnation.com/live2. And we have the Twitter, of course, at Matt Connerton, and the Facebook page, Matt Connerton Unleashed. Please like the page if you haven't done so already. Another big night in presidential politics. Trump has apparently now won more than 50% of the popular vote in terms of the primaries. He is declaring himself the presumptive front runner for the Republican Party. In fact, it is up on Politico. It says, Trump says it's over. The real estate mogul declares himself the presumptive nominee after sweeping Tuesday's primaries. He won all the primaries, all the Republican primaries today. It says here, Donald Trump declared himself the presumptive nominee of the Republican Party after he won five northeastern states in a landslide. Quote, I consider myself the presumptive nominee, absolutely, unquote, the real estate mogul said in a speech at Trump Tower in New York, after he won Pennsylvania, Maryland, Delaware, Rhode Island, and Connecticut. Quote, as far as I'm concerned, it's over, unquote. Trump not only won all the states on Tuesday, but also an overwhelming number of delegates, seizing at least 105 of the 118 delegates bound delegates available. He declared, quote, we not only won, we won big, unquote. Surprised he didn't say huge. He cast Ted Cruz and John Kasich as spoilers and some losers, preventing him from focusing on taking on Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton. Trump said, quote, we should heal the Republican Party, unquote. Wow, coming from him. And he stuck by his claim that the system is still rigged against him, but said he's overcoming the obstacles thrown in his way. Quote, the best way to beat the system is to have evenings like this, unquote. Trump had entered the night with 845 of the 1,237 delegates needed to secure the nomination. Cruz began the evening trailing far behind with 559 delegates. He was mathematically eliminated Tuesday from winning on the first ballot at the national convention. Kasich, with only 148 delegates, I didn't know he even had that many, was eliminated long ago, mathematically, of course. The victories mean Trump is roughly three-quarters of the way towards securing the Republican nomination. His dominance Tuesday was thorough. In Maryland, Trump was winning very conservative voters, the group that has been the mainstay of Cruz's support, 52% to 36% among the exit polls, according to the exit polls. He was carrying 50% of very conservative voters in Connecticut to Cruz's 32%. And in Pennsylvania, Trump was headed to a big victory, crushing Cruz among evangelical voters, 57 to 30%. The string of wins, Trump carried his home state of New York with 60% last week, come amid turmoil that has gripped the Trump campaign since Paul Manafort was hired as his convention manager and quickly seized power and control from Corey Lewandowski, Trump's original campaign manager. Manafort has tried to professionalize an operation that has been losing to Cruz in the battle for individual delegates, even while winning states. Manafort hired Rick Wiley, Scott Walker's former campaign manager, as political director, and Trump's old national field director, Stuart Jolly, resigned amid the shakeup. But Lewandowski, who guided Trump from long shot to front runner, has pushed back against the idea that the campaign needed fixing. Lewandowski said Tuesday on CNN before the polls closed, quote, "Donald Trump will never change. The motto of the campaign has been and continues to be, let Mr. Trump be Mr. Trump." Anticipating Trump's big night Tuesday, Kasich and Cruz struck a surprise deal over the weekend in which Kasich promised not to campaign in Indiana, which votes next week, and Cruz vowed not to compete in Oregon and New Mexico.
That's interesting.
Never seen anything like this. For Cruz, the results Tuesday mean a contested convention goes from what he once dismissed as the fever dream of the chattering class to his only path to the nomination. He was already looking ahead, campaigning in recent days in Indiana, which votes on May 3rd instead of the northeastern states that voted on Tuesday. Quote, "Tonight this campaign moves back to Indiana," unquote, Cruz said at a rally as the polls closed. He also mocked his chief opponent, tethering him to the Democratic frontrunner. Quote, "Hillary Clinton has decided on her vice presidential nominee," unquote, Cruz joked, and then said, "Donald Trump." It's not clear what a Trump sweep would mean for Indiana, where polls show the race is tighter. Momentum has proved elusive in the Republican contest so far, ever since Trump came roaring back in New Hampshire following Cruz's Iowa victory. 3 weeks ago, Cruz hailed his win over Trump in Wisconsin as a turning point, but it only marked a turn back in Trump's direction as a real estate mogul walloped Kasich and Cruz in his home state. Demographics, however, have proved far more predictive, and the so-called Acela Corridor states set up well for Trump. I don't know what that means. I haven't seen that term before. Acela Corridor? I'll have to look that up during the break. There are some key thresholds in the balance as the results rolled in. In Connecticut, Trump needed to win more than half of the vote to sweep all 13 of the statewide delegates. He was above that tally in the early count. In Rhode Island, where Cruz never campaigned, the Texas senator needs to hit 10% support to ensure he wins some of the delegates that are awarded proportionally there. He was at exactly 10% with 27% of the vote counted. Maryland offers three delegates to the winner of every congressional district. Lewis Pope, a former chairman of the Maryland Republican Party and current RNC member, said that Kasich's best chance was in the contorted third district, which reaches from Baltimore suburbs to Annapolis to the greater D.C. area. Pope said of the sixth district, which stretches from Montgomery County to the West Virginia border, quote, "He has a reasonable chance in CD6, unquote. The biggest prize of the night is Pennsylvania, which has 71 delegates, but it awarded only 17 to Trump, the statewide winner. The other 54 delegates are elected directly at the ballot box. They are unbound to the election results, though many have informally pledged themselves to the winner of their districts. Trump, Cruz, and Kasich are all pushing for the election of delegates more favorable to them." So, well, he's getting closer. I mean, even if he doesn't make it to 1237, that's the magic number of delegates needed to clinch the nomination. It's still, you know, the closer he gets, you know, the more, well, the more difficult it is going to be for them to justify denying him the nomination at the convention in a contested convention. It also means, I don't know. This is going to be really interesting just to see how on both sides, you know, there's going to be, if Trump is denied the nomination, there's going to be a lot of angry Trump voters. If more than half of them so far have actually voted for Trump and for the Democrats, no matter what, there's going to be a lot of angry Bernie Sanders supporters, and Bernie Sanders will definitely be denied the nomination. It's definitely going to be Hillary. So, I don't know, but I mean, at least the Democrats can take solace in they kind of know what's going to happen, right? But for the Republicans, it's there really is no good outcome. I mean, they're stuck. You know, if Trump is the nominee, I mean, they're all predicting that he's going to have a very negative effect on the party and on other candidates down ballot. And if he's, you know, if they find a way to take it away from him, there's just going to be a lot of angry Republicans who voted for Trump. So I have said all along, they need to just stop openly campaigning against him, or I should say openly sort of conspiring against him, or collusion is what he called it. He said that the way Cruz and Kasich are working together, it's collusion. And they need to just lean into it and embrace it somehow, because you know, they're just making this worse for themselves in the long run. I mean, Lindsey Graham, former candidate and senator from South Carolina, came right out and said on Morning Joe, he thinks his own party is going to lose big in 2016. He doesn't really see any getting around it. All right, more Unleashed to come. We got to take a quick break. Kind of feel like I'm losing my voice a little bit tonight. But we'll make it through. All right, don't go away.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Matt Connerton here. Join Jen Coffey and I twice a week for Matt Connerton Unleashed, a political talk show that's a little different than what you're used to. No liberal or conservative agenda here, just an honest dialogue about truth and how things really work in the world of politics. Matt Connerton Unleashed, every Tuesday and Thursday night at 11 p.m. Eastern on OM Times Radio.
Do you want to be a better communicator? Do you want to better connect with the important people in your life? Do you want to enrich your relationships? If so, join me, Matthew Cooper, on the Positive Control System show every Wednesday evening at 11 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time on OM Times Radio. I'll meet you there.
Are you trying to get from point A to point B and need a little advice? Connect with the counselors at OM Times Advisors. Whether you're looking for a life coach or a spiritual intuitive, the advisors participating at advisors.omtimes.com were carefully chosen based on their gifts, skills, and professionalism. OM Times Advisors, connecting you with the best advisors in the business.
Live on this Tuesday night on IPM Nation 2. And, of course, Tuesdays and Thursday nights were also carried on OTR FM. I think what we're going to do now is I'm the more I talk, the more I'm getting hoarse. I feel like I'm kind of losing my voice here. So I've gone to my favorite website, rightwingwatch.org, as regular listeners know. I do so love this site. So much helpful information on it. And as you may or may not know, Beyonce has released a new album. And according to everyone's favorite conspiracy theorist, well, except for the ones that we have on IPM Nation, of course, but Alex Jones apparently believes that Beyonce wants to eat children's brains because, of course, you know, Beyonce and Jay-Z and everybody, they're all part somehow of the Illuminati. So I'm going to play some audio here, and I see that our favorite holy man, Pastor Manning, you know, the one who said that God is going to cause fire to shoot out of gay men's buttholes, to use his term. He is also included in this audio. It would appear that this is, I've not listened to this ahead of time, but it would appear that this is a conversation between Alex Jones and Pastor Manning about this. And hopefully Pastor Manning can help shed some light on Beyonce and her desire to eat children's brains. All right, let's take a listen. I like this kind of stuff.
You would have thought that he would have been able to do something over the past 7 years to increase a lower the employment, the unemployment of blacks. But Alex, here's some facts. Prison population has increased under Obama. Shootings in the streets, such as Trayvon Martin, which you deserve to be shot. It was a thug. Michael Brown, another thug. The killings in Chicago, Alex, a black youth from 3 years old to 24 years old goes on routinely. I mean, you would think that the world would wake up and say, wait a minute, something's wrong. They've got an alleged black president, but yet the very hometown from which he comes, killings, murders, shootings, violence,
Chicago,
robbery.
Just so the number to back
worse.
You up, Pastor Manning, Chicago had the highest crime rate in the world up until last year. That crime rate doubled, according to the FBI, in the last year. And again, look at Russia. Putin loves Russians, so he incentivizes having more kids. You'd think Obama, if he was really pro-black, I mean, I'm pro-human, so I say black people especially, stop killing your kids.
Right.
And get them in church, whatever. Take them away from Beyonce, who wants to eat their brain with the CIA, literally. And instead, it's like, oh, shut up. You know, this is our culture. No, it's an artificial culture. But I mean, look at it. Look at how you have Obama worldwide intensified, basically forced abortion funding in China, but also in Africa, where countries don't get money unless they pressure people to have abortions.
Right.
So Obama
right.
literally is the killer of black people, and they love him. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, you're absolutely right. And you would think that the media would take the time to expose this important stuff. They're not going to do that. They know it as well as you. You're not the only smart guy in the world, Alex. They know this, but they're not going to allow the public to know this. And not only do black people don't know it. I mean, I hate using racial assignations, calling a person black or white or color. I don't know if it gets us anywhere. We're all human beings. However, I do need to indicate that some of us have some behavior that is loathsome, that we don't want to tolerate, and others have behaviors perhaps that we can tolerate. But on the other hand, you would think that the world would have become a better place for the so-called black man under Obama. It has not. It has gotten absolutely worse. And you would think that the rest of humanity, including other nations, would say, wait a minute, something's wrong, that so many black people are killing one another, so many are unemployed, so many have gone to prison, and we can have people like Beyonce, who Jay-Z and Beyonce are supported by the money powers, if you will, across America, and they can come out. I guess you're referencing Beyonce swinging the bat the way she was swinging. I mean, what is this? What is it? This is me. And by the way, anybody who thinks that Beyonce is just going to be inspiring young black children, you better think again. You better think again. Beyonce is going to inspire children all across every spectrum to act in that violent way, because the media has already publicized her and promoted her as
look,
somebody.
Since they special. Weaponized MTV even worse the last 3-4 years, in all urban black areas, crime rates are exploding while crime is going down around the rest of the country. They are putting out, just like in the movie The Kingsman, where they're telling you what they're doing, that came out last year, the billionaire has a computer program through the media to cause people to kill each other. Well, that's just a souped up version of what they've got, and they're testing it in the black community. Then when the black community explodes, they're going to scapegoat the black community even more, and all of this sold like it's empowering the black community. This is so sophisticated.
When I hear a profound statement on my broadcast, I generally say something like this, boom, shakalaka. So and when I hear one that's ultra profound, I give it four boom shakalaka. Some only get one, some only get two. But I'm going to give that last statement you just made about the scapegoating, and also the testing of all kinds of ills in the black community. I'm going to give that 3.5 boom shakalakas. For boom shakalaka and a half. Keep going,
Pastor Manning.
I know you're absolutely right. And I would think that the other item of what you made mention of is that people are demon-possessed. I mean, when you have an affection sexually for a 5-year-old girl or boy, you're not human. That is not a human spirit. That is not something that is planted within you that belongs to the rest of the world, mainly because it's rare. But you have to understand then what kind of a spirit would cause you to be able to have such a desire. It's simply a demon. These are demons. These are persons with no constraints regarding what is moral, what is brotherly, what is accurate, and what is integral. They don't have those, if you will, bypasses or stop signs in their human makeup. They're demons. They don't have it. And so therefore they're able to do that. The problem is that these same demons are now promoting that kind of, if you will, ideology in our schools and in our institutions, especially when you talk about homosexuality or sodomy, as I'm given to call it.
So undoubtedly they are pushing this 24/7. And when I go out to an abortion clinic to just peacefully do a report, literal devil worshiping communists, that's how they proclaim themselves, show up and say, quote, I'm ugly, I stink, I love Satan, I killed my baby. And the men sit there and brag, I get women pregnant, and I've killed 30 babies this year, and I go and raise money to kill babies. I love killing them. Oh, I love it. And they actually are devil worshipers, and they're ugly, whether they're black, white, or Hispanic, or Asian. They're shrunken. I'm not kidding. The black people have like this green tone. The white people have a green tone. They're turning into lizards or something.
Well, I would suggest that Alex Jones not go to any more of these protests, because the people that he's encountering are clearly terrifying. My God. I certainly would not want to encounter a green-skinned, devil-worshipping lizard person who just got done killing 30 babies. This is fun. I got one more Alex Jones clip here. In this one, he talks about how Obama is a demonic creature because there are flies always landing on him. Apparently, that's a telltale sign. Let's listen to this.
I remember you coming on about a year before Obama got elected, and you were basically implying that he could be the Antichrist. And I know the Bible says there are many Antichrists. There's an Antichrist spirit building towards the final Antichrist. And when you study history, then you realize that it is like a spirit. It's a system. These people are like the same. They just get more advanced. The technology gets more advanced. But then I saw him go to Cairo, his first speech, and speak perfect Arabic, and they were all blown away. They said he was better than people in that country. Even the accent was Egyptian. Everybody was blown away. He's been anti-Christian. He won't let Christian refugees out, makes jokes about it, attacks Christians on Easter, has flies always landing on him, is involved in every evil you can imagine, persecuting black people, especially like he wants to destroy them all over the world, making sure they get killed and aborted.
You got that right.
More and more, he really is a demonic creature. His wife is demonic. They don't act or look like any black people I've ever known, or any people for that matter. They just are weird. And like, we got to eat what she says, and schools are fine if we don't do what she says. And it's just really weird. Who are these people? Who is Obama?
Well, you know, I've gone ahead and advanced Obama is the son of Satan. He's not just an evil person. He is indeed the if you will, the emissary for Satan himself. He's the son of Satan. And because no one, Alex, has brought the amount, a level of evil to this planet. I mean, I know Mao Zedong killed 60 million. I know that Lenin killed a whole lot of people as well. And that was indeed rank evil. But they didn't bring necessarily the kind of spiritual evil that Obama has brought. And we will not see the lasting effect of the evil of Mao or Hitler.
I want to say this, though. He did herald, and then Kissinger, after you said that, said he's going to bring in the New World Order. He's the one. And when he goes to the UN, all the leaders get there and, like, worship him. And it's how they act towards him that's weird. It's,
well, Alex, imagine this. Imagine this, where the New World Order comes into being, led by Obama, where he's able to bring in evil. He's able to flip the script, the biblical script. He's able to flip the family script. He's able to take the family script that was a husband and a wife with children. He's able to flip that now and make it two men or two women. He's able to flip the biblical script about how we are to treat one another, what's right, what's justice, what's law, what's lies, what's true. He's able to completely flip that script. And we're now living in a world where the opposite of what we lived in for quite so long is now the norm. That's exactly where we're going at present. All you have to do is read the tea leaves. All you have to do is see where we've come from, and especially under his leadership.
But I'll say this. They launched their next wave operation with Obama. Everything launched with him. So whether he's definitely a precursor. I do now see what you're talking about. He is like a demonic entity. I agree with you.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the Catholic Church that has...
Look at this Pope is uncloaked all of a sudden and is like a demon.
Yeah. So we have to be aware of the fact that I've taught that Satan has nowhere to go. He has nothing to offer people except this kingdom. He doesn't have a heaven to offer people. So Satan's main tool that he offers people is not, a mansion in the sky or an eternal life. He offers people power. He offers people talent. For instance, somebody like Prince, who recently committed suicide or whatever it is he does, Satan offers.
The Real Conscious Connection. OM Times Radio. IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of OM Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of OM Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community.
Hi, everyone. This is Shay Parker, the host of Best of the Best, which airs live right here on IOM Radio every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern and 5 p.m. Pacific. I'm super excited to bring you expert guest hosts, spiritual discussions, free psychic readings, and so much more. I can promise that you will not want to miss this one-of-a-kind, fun, yet touching, down-to-earth show. Join us every Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 p.m. Pacific on OTRFM. This is Shay Parker, and I can't wait to see you there.
Join Elliot Jolish, the business therapist, each Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern for the Elliot Jolish Hour, as he interviews business experts on your behalf. And you're invited to email your business questions to questions@ecjgroup.com for answers, live, on air, every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Eastern on the Elliot Jolish Hour. The number one reason girls drop out of school in sub-Saharan Africa is lack of access to feminine hygiene products. The Pads for Schoolgirls project, an outreach of Humanity Healing International, is changing this paradigm by setting up sewing programs at schools, teaching girls a vocational skill, while producing the reusable pads that help keep them attending classes. The girls pay it forward by making and giving pad kits to other girls in need. To learn more, visit humanityhealing.org. Humanity Healing is where your heart is.
Welcome back, everybody. Matt Connerton Unleashed. We are live on this Tuesday night. A couple of interesting bits of Alex Jones audio there for you. I know the second clip got cut off going into the break, but it was almost over. But of course, conservative Republicans generally loathe Barack Obama, but I had no idea until hearing Pastor Manning and Alex Jones there. I had no idea that that Obama was literally the son of Satan. That's amazing. Now, that means that, Dick Cheney is also related to Satan, because Dick Cheney, for those who don't remember this, because not much was made of it at the time. It was just kind of a funny coincidence, or, well, it is and it isn't, but Dick Cheney and Barack Obama are cousins. Now, obviously, they're distant cousins, but they are cousins. They are related. Of course, in theory, if you go back far enough, we're all related, right? But, and that's not a conspiracy theory thing, by the way. That's something that they've actually both acknowledged, that, yes, they are related. Although I think that does help lend some credence to the conspiracy theorists who believe that, you know, they're all part of one big organization or one big family or whatever. But my goodness. So we'll see how my voice does. I wanted to play some audio because I was starting to lose my voice. I think I'm sounding a little better now. Had a hit off of the inhaler, and because I feel like what's bothering me is not in my throat, but in my lungs. And so that seemed to help. I, of course, you know, we'll see as the segment goes, but I feel like I'm speaking a little bit better. It's probably the pollen is just the pollen is really, really bad right now in this part of the country. So if anyone wants to call in tonight, we do have a phone line open for you. 617-9174-IPM. Or if you prefer, 617-9174-476. You can call or text. Don't forget the television edition of Unleashed. Of course, Wednesdays at 2 p.m. Eastern on IPM Nation. Don't have anything special planned for tomorrow, but I do know that, well, no, you know what? There was something that had been discussed but isn't happening, so I don't know. So, but I will be on tomorrow at 2 for the television edition. We'll see if Mr. Hopwood wants to stick around, of course. Ward 13 with John Hopwood at 1 p.m. Eastern, immediately preceding Unleashed. And I have no idea what John has planned for tomorrow, so but I'll probably get a text from him in the morning, and then I'll probably be on there too. I am most weeks. Most weeks I join him on Ward 13, unless he's talking about sports. He's done a couple shows recently where he talks about baseball, and I'm when it comes to sports, I'm useless. I have no clue. Let's see. This is something I shared out earlier on the Matt Connerton Unleashed Facebook page that really bothers me. Civil asset forfeiture. For those who don't know, and I'm sure my audience is aware of what this is, but for those who don't know, it's where law enforcement / the government, they determine that you've been doing something illegal, typically drug-related. It's part of the drug war. They determine that you've been doing something illegal without a trial, with no due process, but they're going to... charge you with something, and they go ahead and seize your assets. They'll just take your stuff, or, you know, if they find that you're carrying a large amount of cash and they're suspicious that might be drug money, they'll just go ahead and take it from you. Again, no due process. They'll just take it. Perfectly legal. Very tough to get it back. Rarely happens. Even if you're, you know, you might go through the trial and all of that and be found not guilty, but good luck getting your stuff back. And sometimes, I mean, you know, first of all, it's theft to begin with when the government does this, clearly. By any reasonable standard, they're stealing from you if they do this. But sometimes there are some stories that crop up that really highlight just how horrific this is. By the absurdity of the circumstances. And this is what I shared out earlier. This is from HuffPost. I think, or was it Politico? I want to make sure I credit the right. Okay, no, it was from HuffPost. Nick Wing writes, cops take $50,000 from manager of Christian band, are forced to admit it was total BS. The cash included donations for a nonprofit Christian school in Burma and a Thai orphanage. All right, so let me read this to you quickly. This is so just, I mean, there's something kind of humorous about it, but it's also just infuriating. The Chloe and Que music team doesn't play the kind of music most people would associate with criminal activity. They're a Christian rock band from Burma, and on a recent U.S. tour, they performed mostly inspirational, cultural, and love songs. But for nearly 2 months, authorities in Muskegee County, Oklahoma, treated the band and its manager as if they were somehow involved in an elaborate drug trafficking scheme that involved large sums of cash. The ordeal ended this week when the district attorney's office dropped the case and admitted it had no proof that the more than $53,000 cops took from the band manager's car in February was connected to drugs. But the fact that police seized the cash and prosecutors considered pursuing the case has once again highlighted the corrupting power of a controversial law enforcement tool called civil asset forfeiture. Using the process, police and prosecutors in many states can permanently seize property based solely on the suspicion that it's linked to illegal behavior. In states with weak forfeiture laws, like Oklahoma, they don't have to obtain a conviction or even charge the owner with a crime. They don't even have to present hard evidence of the alleged connection to criminal activity. In the end, up to 100% of the resulting proceeds from seized property can flow directly back to police departments and prosecutors involved with the case. It's become a highly lucrative practice for law enforcement, and critics of civil forfeiture say it encourages authorities to police and prosecute for profit rather than for public safety through a neutral administration of the law. In February, Iwa, the Chloe and Que music team's manager, saw this dynamic on display firsthand and learned how law enforcement judgment can become clouded when departments are literally getting paid to say property is connected to criminal activity. Ewa, who left Burma as a refugee and is now a U.S. citizen, joined the Chloe and Que music team in November for a five-month tour. Like Ewa, the band's members are Karen Christians, an ethnic and religious minority in the nation now known as Myanmar. The group performed for a number of Karen Christian congregations and raised a good chunk of money to fund their travels and in donations for a Thai orphanage and nonprofit Christian school in Burma. The band's manager, Awa, handled its finances. So when Chloe and Que music team took a break from their tour at the end of February, Awa headed home to Dallas with more than $50,000 cash in his car, including charitable donations, proceeds from the band's ticket, album, and merchandise sales, and money that the family of the group's bassist had given to Awa to deliver. On February 29, a Muskegee County Sheriff's deputy pulled over Awa for a broken taillight as he drove along a highway. Police and prosecutors in the county say the road is a popular thoroughfare for drug traffickers who often carry cash separate from contraband. Civil forfeiture allows law enforcement to seize that money even when no other laws are being broken. They claim to be targeting the finances of criminal organizations, but presumably that wouldn't include a Burmese Christian rock band. Police found no evidence of any drugs or other paraphernalia in the car, but they reported that a canine unit made a positive alert on the vehicle, of course. Awa says police subjected him to hours of interrogation and repeated threats to throw him in jail. He told HuffPost, quote, "The way I live my life, I never thought that I would go somewhere like jail, that I would have to explain myself with all these things that I never have done in my life. I don't even know what the drugs look like," unquote. The sheriff's department ultimately confiscated a total of $53,249 from the car, claiming all available evidence that it was drug money. I'm sorry, claiming against all available evidence that it was drug money. Ewa acted nervous, police said, and gave inconsistent stories, which was apparently sufficient grounds to seize his property. On Monday, following the Post story and local news coverage, the district attorney's office announced it was returning the money. Prosecutors also dropped additional criminal charges they had filed against him over its alleged possession of illegal drug proceeds. Ewa may be off the hook, but his case is already provided another flashpoint for critics of civil forfeiture in Oklahoma, where recent attempts to reform state laws have met strong opposition from law enforcement. Well, of course, they're profiting from it. They're running a business here. There's a bunch more to this story, so we don't have time for the whole thing, but it is up on HuffPost. But this is why civil asset forfeiture must absolutely end. When I shared out this post on the Unleashed Facebook page, I said, actually, I'll read you what I wrote, my comment on it. I said, all of you who think that the drug war is a great thing and that it should continue to be prosecuted by our government unabated have certainly put an incredible amount of undeserved faith in some incredibly stupid and corrupt people. And what I had in mind when I wrote that was, you know, there are a lot of typically it tends to be conservatives, you know, liberals generally want to see some decrim or legalization of at least marijuana and potentially some other drugs. And so do libertarians, of course. But conservatives are the ones who tend to really believe in the drug war and that the drug war is a good thing and that it must continue. You know, they love, you know, Nancy Reagan, Just Say No, and everything after that. They love the drug war. And yet, and something where conservatives and libertarians tend to agree is that government is bad. Government screws everything up and can't be trusted to do anything right. Except for some reason, the drug war. That and the death penalty, of course. Those couple things, no, the government, they're doing a great job. So we're going to continue executing people, and we're going to continue prosecuting the drug war because, you know, what could go wrong? Stupid. Absolutely stupid. All right, we got a little bit more to go, one more segment to go. We'll see how my throat holds up, how my voice holds up, my lungs. More Unleashed coming up. Don't go away.
The Real Conscious Connection. Om Times Radio. IOM FM. Being a radio host on IOM FM allows you to build your show on a rich platform with the power of the internet to fulfill your outreach goals and connect with a very specialized and global online audience, unlimited by time and distance. OM Times Radio will provide you with web relevance, a recognizable conscious brand, and with the standard of excellence that has accompanied every single OM Times endeavor. Host your show with OM Times Radio Network.
Circle of Hearts Radio is a sanctuary on the airwaves. Join me, Grandmother Elia, in the circle on Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern, as I share information to both enlighten and nourish your soul.
The name is Bond. James Bond.
No, the name is Joe. The Joe Show. And we are returning back for our ninth season here on OM Times Radio. So tune in every Wednesday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, on ohmtimes.com/mobile. You can take us wherever you go. Yeah!
Have you ever wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free today at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
Hey, welcome back, everybody. Matt Connerton Unleashed. So we cruise into our final segment tonight. And let's see. It was, go back to Politico. See if there's any kind of updates on today's events, because it's a big day. Yeah, here we go. This is something interesting. Clinton's refusal to quit in 2008 haunts her in 2016. This is on Politico. This is interesting. It says here, while some allies want her to nudge Sanders out, others say he's only behaving like she did 8 years ago. For those who don't remember, during 2008, during the primaries, even when it became obvious that Obama was going to be the nominee, Hillary hung in there. I think she got out once it became mathematically impossible for her to win. I mean, you know, before it became mathematically impossible, it was just obvious that she wasn't going to win. The momentum was with Obama. But I think it was only when he clinched enough delegates to win the nomination that clearly there was no chance she could win that she finally pulled out. But she did, just like Sanders is now, even when it was unlikely, even when it was pretty obvious Obama was going to be the nominee, she not only stayed in, but continued to win primaries. You know, Obama would win some and she would win some. And she did continue to rack up delegates, even though there was little chance that she was going to catch up with him. So now she's Obama and Bernie is Hillary in 2016. So let's look at this. This article just went up, but this looks interesting. According to Politico, it says here, in the wake of her victories in Pennsylvania, Maryland, Connecticut, and Delaware, some of Hillary Clinton's top operatives are ready for Bernie Sanders to call it quits. But Clinton's own refusal to give up in 2008, even after she had no real path forward, remains an obstacle to ramping up that pressure. Indeed, some veterans of Clinton's 2008 campaign are urging empathy and space for Sanders, emphasizing that the decision to slog on is not about having a viable path forward. It's about feeling that you've gone as far as you can go. At rallies, quote, women would literally grab her hand and say, "Don't you dare drop out. Don't you quit," unquote, recalled Howard Wolfson, Clinton's former communications director, after of the 2008 endgame, quote, "Your head told you the math didn't add up, but your heart said, we're continuing to win states, we're continuing to draw big crowds, and it's very hard to walk away from a contest where you have millions of supporters who are clearly still determined to help you get elected," unquote. Like others in Clinton's 2008 brain trust, Wolfson said he understands why Sanders wants to keep fighting. Quote, "You begin to conclude this is a cause bigger than yourself," unquote, he explained of the campaign's mindset in the spring of 2008. Quote, "I'm sure there are some of the same sets of pressure on the Sanders camp today," unquote. But for the current Clinton officials in the trenches in Brooklyn, there has been growing frustration with the tone of Sanders' campaign and, in particular, his bullish campaign manager, Jeff Weaver, who seems to double down on the attacks with each setback. Rather than make any overt calls for Sanders to get out, Clinton's top campaign officials tried a subtler approach, stressing that after Tuesday night's losses, it will be virtually impossible for Sanders to catch up. And her army of surrogates have been told not to call on Sanders to drop out, but to change his tone and drop the attacks. For now, though, he's still fighting, but hinting at a new approach. On Tuesday night, Sanders put out a statement congratulating Clinton on her wins and hinting that he would stay in through the convention to promote his driving issues, a $15 minimum wage, ending disastrous trade policies, and breaking up the big banks, among other bullet points. The Clintons themselves have a philosophy of fighting on, as Bill Clinton likes to say, until the last dog dies. And in 2008, Hillary kept kicking through the final primaries on June 3rd, where she won South Dakota and Barack Obama won Montana. But that gritty philosophy does not engender sympathy for her challenger. frustrated by Sanders' ability to capture the public's imagination with a powerful message that has exposed the amorphous nature of her own, Clinton, close allies said, does not regard his decision to stay in the race through the convention as comparable to her own in 2008. On her victory night party stage at the Philadelphia Convention Center, the venue where the Democratic National Committee will be held in July, Clinton said she applauded Sanders for pushing the issue of income inequality. Whether you support Senator Sanders or you support me, there is much more that unites us than divides us, she told an enthusiastic crowd of 1,300 supporters. Sanders' campaign has said the path ahead now depends on flipping superdelegates to his side come summer, a similar strategy to Clinton's last-ditch efforts in 2008. Back then, Bill Clinton was phoning superdelegates, reportedly trying to convince them that the country wasn't ready to elect an African-American president. Hillary Clinton refused to make such calls out of what allies say was a mixture of rejection and entitlement. This time, Sanders' campaign is pointing to national polls where he still beats Clinton. But just like 8 years ago, Democrats said it is hard to see a scenario where superdelegates would go against the candidate leading in pledge delegates as well as the popular vote. Some Democrats said they wonder if, in the same way Clinton's campaign hoped for a bombshell that would undermine Obama's nomination, the potential existence of an alleged tape, which never materialized, showing Michelle Obama using the word whitey, animated the Clintons in the final months of the campaign. Sanders is holding out for an outside blow to Clinton, mused one Clinton ally. Is Sanders secretly banking on an FBI report? Like Clinton in 2008, Sanders also appears to be making a last-ditch racial argument tucked into a demographic one. It was after Clinton won Indiana on May 6th that she told USA Today, quote, Senator Clinton's support among working, hardworking Americans, white Americans, is weakening, unquote. Her comment, which she believed was stretched to contain an unintended racist subtext, is reminiscent of Sanders' dismissal of Clinton's victories in the South, where she overwhelmed him thanks to support from African Americans in the South. Where she overwhelmed him thanks to support from African American voters. Sanders said at the Brooklyn debate earlier this month, quote, this is the most conservative part of this country. That's a fact. But you know what? We're out of the Deep South now and we're moving up, unquote. But there are also differences in the candidate's behavior in the final months of the primary calendar. Clinton developed a constituency in the final third of the campaign and came into her own, impressing people with her grit. Sanders, in contrast, has been hammering home the same message that has driven his campaign since day one and escalated his attacks as the road ahead narrows. On Tuesday, his wife, Jane, said Sanders would only release his past tax returns after Clinton released the transcripts of her paid speeches in front of Wall Street firms. The campaign also released a heated fundraising plea accusing Clinton allies of saying that Sanders' presence in the race was helping Donald Trump. Weaver said, quote, let me be clear. There is one candidate in this Democratic primary who Donald Trump would make a great president, who Donald Trump said would make a great president, and it's not Bernie Sanders, unquote. Clinton's own history may prevent her from calling for Sanders to drop out of the race, but she can point to her own ultimate embrace of Obama if Sanders continues on the attack. After the May primaries of Kentucky and West Virginia, 2008 veterans recalled, Clinton tried to pivot away from a contrast with Obama and focus more on a positive message. For now, Sanders' senior strategist Tad Devine, has kept an open line of communication with the Clinton campaign, but he said he's not ready for any negotiations. He said, quote, we've decided he's not going to compete all the way through to California and D.C. We think that's good. Obviously, how good that is for her depends on what he says. But nobody can deny the good of registering voters. Even Clinton's sympathetic 2008 allies, however, said it would be critical for Sanders to give up a floor fight at the convention. The Republican convention will dissolve into total chaos, Wolfson said, which will have a negative impact on the perception of the part. It would be enormously beneficial to demonstrate a contrast to that. Clinton's 2008 traveling press secretary, Mo Elathy, who fielded the intense pressure to drop out, said now that Clinton can campaign as a presumptive nominee, it will be the most challenging period for Sanders operatives. And said, quote, I had to go to the back of the plane every day and justify to the press why we were in the race. It's one of the toughest jobs in politics when you have to argue against math. So there you go. So that's interesting. I'd forgotten how long she hung in there, but in 2008, Hillary hung in there until June, and it's only April. So if Bernie decides to do what Hillary did in 2008, he'll hang in there till June. He probably wants to make sure he has a voice at the convention, even if he has no chance of winning. That's it, my friends. We are out of time for tonight. So don't forget the television edition of Unleashed tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern on IPM Nation. And if you don't get to watch it live, we have it up on YouTube, typically by 9 p.m. Eastern. And, of course, I'll be back with another radio show Thursday night. Bye for now.